Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Daily Ticker time here on The Fan. We're still trying to get our guests, so give us just a minute here on that.
They're partying too much in Toronto today, man.
They're living the good life, man.
They're living the good life. It is, you know, somebody texted in Kawhi Leonard is like the Madison Bumgarner.
That's a great comparison.
Of the NBA. Yeah. It really is. Although, I mean, I'll even give it. Kawhi's a better regular season player than Bumgarner. I mean, he's a perennial all-star MVP candidate. And Bumgarner's had some great years, but he's not necessarily on that level year in and year out during the regular season. There's just something about guys that when they get to that point, they take it to the next level. And Kawhi Leonard has been remarkable in that regard. And the storyline of how it's going to play for them, like they are just rolling out the red carpet to try and get him to come back. They traded away a guy that was a franchise cornerstone, as you would say, in DeMar DeRozan to get him, the threat of him leaving. There's so many interesting storylines out of Toronto getting there. But, you know, they were an organization that I really respected for rolling the dice. You know, it might end up backfiring. Maybe they lose to Milwaukee or they go to the finals and they get swept by Golden State and he walks in free agency and you got nothing to show for him. It really is a risky move, but I appreciate them at least trying it because I think we can all agree if you have DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry again in Toronto, do they beat Philly in the second round? Probably not the way Kawhi Leonard played in that series. And even if they find a way to do it, I'm not taking them to beat Milwaukee without Kawhi Leonard. He has been the difference for them in the last two rounds. So at least as of now, we'll see how free agency goes. But at least as of now, that trade has worked out for him.
You know, there's two things here, and hopefully we get our guest on just a minute here for the ticker. There's two things here. Did you feel kind of good, though? I'm rooting for the Bucks. I love Giannis. But did you feel good for the Raptors just because that organization has come up short?
Yeah, they have.
A lot of those players, not a lot, but a few of those guys, those key guys, have come up small in big moments, and they've really kind of come together. And you give Kawhi a lot of that credit, but like Kyle Lowry, he's injured right now. He's playing confident. He's not allowing moments to get to him.
Yeah.
You mentioned Fred VanVleet, who struggled, and then now he's found his shot. And so the Raptors, I kind of felt good for him yesterday.
Yeah,
I didn't
did.
Pick him, but I felt good for him.
The Drake thing's different, but you feel good for the city.
Do we have him on right now, Swag? Are we good? Yes? No? Okay, right. Here we go. Eric Smith is joining us now, Fan 590 in Toronto, sportscaster extraordinary. He's on Twitter at Eric_Smith. Give him a follow. He joins us on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild hotline. Eric, thanks for taking a couple minutes with us, man. We appreciate it. Just what does it feel like to be on the doorstep of an NBA Finals after so many heartbreaking losses in the playoffs with the Raptors?
Yeah, it definitely feels good. I mean, as you guys, I'm sure, can appreciate and would probably, agree with and acknowledge, it's, you know, job's not done yet, obviously. We've kind of been down this path before at 2-2 at least a couple years ago against the Cavaliers before getting, you know, blown out in games 5 and 6. So it was nice for the Raptors to get that win last night. But I'll tell you, I don't know how many hockey fans you have up that way, and I'm strangely a weird Canadian, not a huge hockey guy myself, but there are a lot of bitter Toronto fans, even in this postseason, that saw the Maple Leafs leading the Bruins 3-2,
only
to lose game 6 and 7 and then get eliminated in the first round. So there still are a few sort of skeptical Raptor fans, or at least fans that are taking the wait-and-see approach, saying, hold on, we don't want to get too excited, too jacked up quite yet. Because, we saw what happened to the Maple Leafs. But this certainly feels good, and obviously with the Raptors being the closest they've ever been, the city is waiting to explode, and it's going to be a massive party in Toronto tomorrow night if they actually do close this thing out.
Yeah, the Maple Leafs, a great example of that. I've forgotten, and that would just happen, you know, a number of weeks ago. And, you know, there's such a storyline in the offseason about trading DeMar DeRozan, a guy who was a franchise player for Kawhi Leonard, and just kind of rolling the dice and saying, you know what, we want to try and get over the hump and bring in a superstar at that level. And, you know, so far I think you could say it worked in the playoffs. Is that trade vindicated at this point? Does it matter what happened in free agency? Like, how are people feeling about that move right now?
You know, I was actually on a station just over the border in Vancouver earlier today, and they apparently had a poll up on their station where they were saying, and I'm trying to remember here, but essentially paraphrasing, you know, would you consider this season a success if, or you know, what would you want? Option A was championship, but Kawhi Leonard leaves. Option B is no championship, but Kawhi Leonard resigns for, you know, the long-term extension. And I said I would still take the championship because, you know, those don't come along. You know, it could be another 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years before, you know, you have that shot at winning a title, let alone actually potentially winning a title. I would take the chance. I would take the opportunity to be in a finals, to go for that first ring more than anything else. So to me, this trade has been vindicated. It was a success, even if Kawhi Leonard decides to leave. That said, though, I think the further you go into the playoffs, the deeper you go, the more time he has around this team, around these teammates, around the medical staff, the front office, building the trust with everybody, that can only help your case and further solidify your chances of bringing him back, let alone, of course, the ultimate dollars and cents that come down to it and the money that he can leave on the table if he did leave.
Yeah, Eric Smith is our guest here on the Daily Ticker, the Fan 590 in Toronto. Joining us now, he's at Twitter, at Eric_Smith. You mentioned kind of the attitude. I think you're spot on. I think everybody here in this city, if Portland was ever in that position, would be the same. It's like, yeah, we're close, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. There's another game to win, and then we can party if they can get to the finals. It doesn't appear, though, that one of your biggest fans, Drake, feels that way. He has proclaimed this team in the finals already. He went on a big, long rant yesterday. I know he was partying out there in Jurassic Park. Look, I know he's one of your own, and he's done a lot of good, I think, in representing the Raptors, but how do Toronto fans kind of feel about Drake and the way this has been going down the last few days, especially with what happened last night?
I think there are more pro than con in when it comes to Drake. And listen, I'll be honest. I do the radio broadcast for the team, and then, you know, we've got a bit of a crazy split in our broadcast schedule here. So half the games I do the radio play-by-play, the other half I'm doing TV sideline. So I've had a chance to interview Drake a couple times. I met him. You know, if we ran into each other on the street, I'm not sure that you know who I am, so I'm not going to claim to be bosom buddies with the guys here. But at the same time, I feel like I have a little bit of a sense of who he is and what he's like as a person, as a fan, let alone as an artist and everything else. I kind of tend to think, you know, I don't know how old you guys are, but I'm 44 and think back to, you know, the heyday of the battles between the Knicks and the Indiana Pacers. And to me, I don't see a major difference between Drake and Spike Lee. The only difference is, I guess Spike Lee didn't, you know, rub the shoulders, give a little massage to the head coach of the Knicks for what, 2 seconds, 3 seconds? Yeah. But in terms of standing up, walking back and forth a little bit, screaming at Reggie Miller, making the choke sign, interacting with players on the floor, you know, making a scene of himself on the sideline, he still does that to some extent to this day. So I don't see a major difference with that. But the interesting thing with Drake as well is, right, wrong, or otherwise, the Raptors have partnered with this guy. I mean, he's essentially on the payroll. I don't know how many of your listeners know this, but he's on the payroll as the Raptors global ambassador. He was hired in that capacity, in that role, given that sort of tag, I believe 4 or 5 years ago. You think of the Raptors, even one of their, you know, like every team that has, you know, 5, 6, 9, 10, 12 jerseys, one of their jerseys is inspired by Drake and the OVO brand, his clothing apparel company and his brand. That's got the owl and it's black and gold, and the Raptors, of course, now have the black and gold jersey, and then now another secondary jersey, alternate jersey, that's the white trimmed in gold. That's all inspired by Drake, designed by Drake, and inspired by the OVO brand. So you've really put yourself, you know, side by side with this guy. You're in bed with him, you know, literally and figuratively. When you think about uniforms, you think about the front office and his role. So he's going to be there, and he's going to be a part of it, and he probably is more than just a quote-unquote fan. So he's kind of given a little bit longer leash. Now, I will tell you this. I wasn't a part of this conversation yesterday because I was at the game in Milwaukee and calling it on the radio. But when he was taking part in the party in Jurassic Park that you mentioned, he apparently talked to local reporters, and he said since the incident, I suppose, or the great uproar over his antics on the sidelines, he had a conversation and apparently a phone call with Adam Silver. Now, what was actually said on that call and what Silver actually, you know, said to him and how much he wants him to stop or continue or whatever, I don't know. But Drake did acknowledge that the league has talked to him and he's had conversations with the highest of the highest. So it's clearly gotten up to all levels. And I would anticipate tomorrow night he's going to be right back there and he'll be hooting and hollering, especially if the Raptors are winning. So I don't see this thing changing.
Yeah, he's going to be front and center. That's interesting. I didn't see that note about the Adam Silver conversation. You know, and looking at this series, it's wild because two games in, we always do this in NBA playoff series where you lose one or you win one. It's like, oh, how's the other team going to come back? And Milwaukee's up 2-0. And you even look back, Toronto, I mean, probably should have won game one. They let it slip late. And, you know, Kyle Lowry was the only one that had a good fourth quarter for him. What's been the biggest change, though? I mean, you go down 0-2, you come home, and now Toronto's won three straight games. What's been the biggest change over the last three games?
I would say it's the second unit and the play of the bench really stepping up and taking a little, or depending how you look at it, a lot of pressure off Kawhi Leonard and even Kyle Lowry for that matter as well. The first couple of games of the series, for the most part, almost the entire series against the 76ers, Fred VanVleet was struggling mightily. Norm Powell couldn't get things going. Serge Ibaka was really the only one from the bench that was providing any kind of lift, and even then it was inconsistent and spotty at best against the Sixers and the first couple of games against Milwaukee as well. But last couple of games, Norm Powell stepping up huge. Certainly Fred VanVleet, 7 of 9 last night from distance and coming off the solid effort in game four as well. That, to me, is the biggest difference because I think Toronto's defense has been pretty darn good in all five games to this point. I think for the most part they've held Antetokounmpo in check, albeit his numbers look great. I'm not sure that his impact has been huge. And yeah. Chris Middleton, the other all-star, has only really had one good game, and that was the game four blowout that the Raptors won. They really held him in check the first three games. So I think defensively what the Raptors are doing, and then just finally this bench that was good and deep through the regular season, that was kind of now, you know, inconsistent and non-existent at times in the playoffs, it's starting to kind of look like its former self, and that's been a huge, huge turnaround.
Yeah. Eric, you do radio. You know the clock. We're way against it, so as quickly as you possibly can, do you think that they can push – if they're able to close this out and they go to the finals, do you think they can actually make it a good series against Golden State? We tend not to think so, but we're coming off of them sweeping Portland without Kevin Durant, so apologies on our end on that. But do you think they can actually make it a good series?
Hey, 2-0 in the regular season for the Raptors against the Warriors, but that's the regular season, so throw that out the window. Listen, if I was a betting man, I would say I'm probably putting my money on Golden State, but do I think the Raptors with Kawhi Leonard, do they have a chance to actually make a series of this? Yeah, I think they do, because I think the way that they match up against Golden State, even with the firepower that the Warriors have, I think man for man, body for body, the Raptors are better at playing that sort of smaller, small ball style and like to get up and down the floor as well. So I think they could match the Warriors man for man, but man, 7-game series? I don't know. First time ever in the finals. I hope I'm wrong, because I'd love to be calling games in the finals, let alone calling a winning championship. But hey, man, just getting there for the first time ever, to me, that's a win in itself for the Raptors. They're playing with house money.
Yeah, absolutely. True. Hey, thanks for coming on, man. We appreciate it. Keep up the great work, radio play-by-play and the TV sidelines. I did want to tell you the picture when you Google yourself. I don't know if you've seen this. I think you're using this as your avatar. Your picture, you kind of look like Cliff Kingsbury, and that's a good-looking guy, so kudos to you.
Give Holly Saunders a call, eh?
Yeah. Get on that.
All right, there we go. Eric Smith, thanks so much, Eric. We appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.